I still don't understand why we have to be blindfolded.
I told you, it's a surprise.
Do you have any idea how hot it is, Dave?
Yeah, it's summer in the wasteland.
You got the AC turned on.
We're in a Jeep, Dave, with no cover.
I mean, I can feel the air.
Of course you can. You're not in the back seat.
Just wait, you two. We're almost there. Believe me, it'll be worth the heat rash.
It better be.
All right, let me just take those blindfolds off and... ta-da!
What the... wait, are we in the Citadel?
That's right, Mike. It's that time of year again. And this time, I've spared no expense on everyone's favorite summer promotion.
Oh God, does that sign say what I think it says?
You bet it does, Jackie.
Oh no.
Oh yes. You two have VIP passes to the hottest, most explosive summer film promotion this side of Bartertown. It's Hot Dave's Summer Film Fest. Live from Thunderdome! Sponsored by Apocalypse Video and Martin Hufano.
Thunderdome? Don't you mean like the Thunderdome?
Shh, quiet, Mike. You want to be sued? It's trademarked by the Aussies. No, this is Thunderdome. Besides, I challenged Thunderdome to put on a show halfway as good as what you've got in store for you at the second annual Hot Day Summer Fun Film Fest. Come on, let's go in. Here are your VIP lanyards.
Passes, please.
There with me.
Oh, Mr. Schneider, of course. Can I get you or your guests anything? A nice cold glass of mother's milk? Or maybe a box of non-radiated Skittles?
Non-radiated? I'll take one. And a pretzel, too.
Of course. Now, before you take your seats, I must warn you. What you are about to see may shock you, may exhilarate you, may leave you weeping and begging for it never to end. So if you have any heart conditions or are prone to crying during romantic dramas, you may want to wait by the concession stand for the duration of the performance.
What do you say, guys? You up for it?
Hell yeah!
I'm game. I've got a box of tissues right here. Let's do it!
That's the spirit. And rest assured, I've pulled out all the stops this time. It's really quite remarkable. Spared no expense. Excuse me. Carl, is it?
Yes, sir.
You mind if I...
Yes, of course. Here you go, sir. You're on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second annual Hot Dave Summer Film Fest.
In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Here we are, section 1, row A, seats 1, 2, and 3. Oh, hey, look who it is. Guys, I'd like you to meet the big winner of the Hot Dave Summer Fun Giveaway, Kara.
Oh my God. I can't believe I'm actually meeting the crew of the Apocalypse Video Podcast. I'm a huge fan. I'm actually the one who requested the Valentine's Day episode this year.
Oh, no way. That's awesome.
Pleasure to meet you. I'm Mike.
I'm Jackie.
And I'm Dave.
This is so amazing. I never thought I'd... Oh, is Ryan not here?
Sadly, no. He couldn't make it for the opening episode of the film fest. His head started reverting back to its giant size again, so he's back at the store while Chad monitors his condition. But he assures me that Ryan should be back to abnormal in no time and ready for the rest of the film fest.
Oh, phew. That's a relief. Ryan's kind of my favorite member of the podcast.
And everyone's favorite lousy, lovable, big-headed
Ryan!
Hey, guys, I made it.
What the... Ryan, what are you doing here? I thought...
I know, right? The operation went quicker than expected, so Chad let me out early as long as I wear this head monitoring device.
Damn your efficiency, Chad.
What was that, Dave?
Nothing. Let's all just take our seats, shall we? The show's about to start.
Dave? Do you mind if I switch seats with you? I kind of want to sit next to Ryan.
Go ahead.
Welcome one and all to Thunderdome.
Sunday. At the Apocalypse Video Store, all summer long, Martin Hofano presents the second and hot day
summer film fest.
Featuring live performances by the Keanu Nier.
I want room service!
Sandra Bullet Train. With special appearance by
the Swayzosaurus Rex.
Whole seat, only 5 bottle caps, but you'll only need the egg. Get there early to get a coupon for free, unlimited Mountain Dew Life Walk. Be there or be dead.
Are there any film fans here today?
In the music. The music sets you dancing. The dancing sets her free. Best Wrong Pictures presents Dirty Dancing. She thought it would be just another summer vacation.
Who's that? Oh, them. They're the dance people.
But it turns out to be the time of her life.
Watch me now!
I can't even do the merengue!
He teaches her what she can do.
I'm not sure who you are, but I don't want you to have anything to do with those people again.
Baby, I don't see you running up to Daddy telling him I'm your guy.
Well, with my father, it's complicated. I will tell him.
I don't believe you, baby.
She shows him all he can be.
You gotta stop it now.
I know what I'm doing, Penny.
I'm scared of everything. Most of all, I'm scared of walking out of this room and never feeling the rest of my whole life the way I feel when I'm with you.
What they learn from each other feels too good to be wrong. Dirty Dancing, starring Patrick Swayze, Jennifer Grey, and Cynthia Rhodes. Get ready for the time of your life.
Hey there, campers! Welcome to the first annual, or no, excuse me, the second annual Dave's Hot Summer Film Fest. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by fellow campers, Ryan.
Look, Spaghetti Arms, this is my podcast space. This is your podcast space. I don't go into yours. You don't go into mine. You gotta hold the...
Also, I'm joined by Jackie.
I carried a watermelon. Carried a watermelon?
And that strappy young man in the black t-shirt. Oh, now he's shirtless. Michael.
When I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong.
And newcomer to the show, how does that expression go? Longtime listener, first time co-host, Kara.
You nailed it.
Sometimes in this world, you see things you don't want to see.
Damn.
That line. Oh my God. I forgot about that line. It made me laugh so hard. There were a lot of instances of unintentional comedy for this movie that made me laugh.
Yeah, man. It's the 80s. We're doing pure corn.
No, it's not the 80s. It's the
60s. Oh, I mean, it's the 60s.
It's not the 80s. It's not the 80s.
It's definitely not 1987.
JFK is still president. He's still alive. For God's sake. He hasn't even been shot yet.
Who are the Beatles? We don't know.
Who are you with the Beatles? It was a different time.
It was so Vietnam. Different. Vietnam, though.
Well, I gotta admit, guys, I think this was a great way to start off the Summer Film Fest. You know, go on vacation, go up into the mountains, and have a love affair with one of the sexiest guys ever.
Have our sexual awakenings.
Sexual
awakenings.
Yeah, with Wayne Knight, the star of Dirty Dancing.
Break our knees doing these elaborate dance moves on the dance floor. It was a good time. But I have a revelation about this movie, guys. It's going to shock you. I have never seen this movie before.
Really?
And by the time we get to the end, when the famous song Time of Your Life comes up, I will admit, I cried.
I love to hear that.
That's the revelation.
You were teasing before everyone got on?
That's a great revelation.
I know.
No, I was afraid you were going to be like, stinker.
Well, I did not have the time of my life.
I didn't have the time of my life, to be honest, and I think Patrick Swayze is just plain looking.
I'll go back in the corner.
I would be shocked.
I mean, they're not wrong. There's a little twinkles of that song throughout the whole movie.
Dave, like, I just want to nail down to be clear. You started crying when everyone started getting up to dance?
Yes.
Was the exact moment of the tear the lift at the end?
When they successfully do the lift?
I mean, that's an explosion. That's a climax right there.
When the music and just the feeling gets all the people in the room, all the, you know, the
emotions.
The stuffy old people, and they're like, oh, this is great. Let's dance too. And like, it was one of those movie moments that isn't built to necessarily make you cry, but like, I feel like it's.
It's like, meant to elicit emotion, yeah.
Yeah, like very similar to the moment for me in Force Awakens when you see the Falcon for the first time. That got me teary-eyed. That's a movie moment.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of funny because we were talking a little bit before we started recording about, like, this is a movie that's played in clips and stuff for, you know, now 30 years.
Yeah, as long as it's existed.
And and it's almost like there's a weird nostalgia that you have for it that you haven't even seen it. So it's like almost like the Millennium Falcon in a weird way. I get it. I'm feeling what you're putting down.
What was our time to Star Wars in this episode?
Well, I haven't looked about like 2 minutes or less.
But yeah, it's a fun one. But what about like Kara? Did you bring this to? I must have missed it because I was late to the party on this one to the summer whatever this is, this camp or something.
Fun summer film camp up in the Catskills.
Yeah, yeah. I brought my very well-worn copy of this movie to share with everyone.
It's one of your favorites?
Yeah, when I was younger, it was one of my sisters really liked it. And so then, you know, classic little sister, I was like, I also really like it. And then it just turned into real love.
That was same with my mom really loved this movie when I was a kid, and I was like, I guess I love this movie.
That's
too.
That's right.
Well, it's kind of stupid. This is it's funny you guys are all, we brought up Star Wars because I saw it in the Chatopedia, and it's very, you know, sexist gendered shit, but it's like, this is like the girl Star Wars. Like, it was like that was like literally like a quote back like when it was
wow.
Like,
finally, a Star Wars for girls.
Finally, they invented it.
I don't know how the three of you guys feel about it, but I don't think that I have shown this to a male and they didn't like it. Like, it's also the Star Wars for men.
That's the thing.
Star
like,
Wars for, that's the tagline well, for Dirty
it's
Dancing.
Like Star Wars for men. Yeah, I don't know if I've watched this one as an adult or like with other people, because I was the part where I always cry at, and I didn't today, but I did bring my hand to my chest, is when Baby and her dad, he's like staring out at the lake, and she says like, yes, I lied to you, but you lied to me too.
And
I
quiver.
And I still love his lip quivering. That destroys me. Because this is a movie about men, and as much as a movie about women, mm-hmm. and you know, relationships and family and
society.
Abortion.
And
this
Star
is
Wars.
On Star Wars.
I told you I was telling the truth, Daddy. I'm sorry I lied to you. But you lied too. You told me everyone was alike and deserved a fair break. But you meant everyone who was like you. You told me you wanted me to change the world, make it better. But you meant by becoming a lawyer or an economist and marrying someone from Harvard. I'm not proud of myself. But I'm in this family too, and you can't keep giving me the silent treatment. There are a lot of things about me that aren't what you thought. But if you love me, you have to love all the things about me. And I love you. I'm sorry I let you down. I'm so sorry, Daddy. But you let me down too.
Yeah, well, it's like, so this is the quote. It was from the British Sky movies, like the, I think that's their one of their channels. So then May 2007 survey by Britain Sky Movies listed Dirty Dancing as a number one on women's most watched films, above the Star Wars trilogy, Grease, The Sound of Music, and Pretty Woman.
Can you imagine so women like this movie about women and sexuality more than they like Star Wars? That's insane.
Yeah, what a... But yeah, no, I like
believe?
It.
So Dave, this was also my first time seeing it. I think we're the only first timers here, but
well, there were several moments in the movie where you and I kind of grabbed our fists like Thumb on Louise and cried together.
Yeah,
it did happen.
I tried to lift you up, and you know, let's just say it didn't look like the end of the movie.
But you
she
tried, and that's
new live
what
wires.
Matters.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, the intentions were there. Yeah, I think this is a... I didn't realize that this was going to be a summer camp movie, which is a great genre of film and a great... It is a great way to kick... I feel like it's summer now. Like, I wasn't sure if it was summer before, but now it's definitely summer.
Well, I mentioned a little bit before, too. Like, I have probably seen the last third of this movie a ton of times because it was on TV a lot. But I didn't really realize the setup. I didn't know it took place like in a weird, like rich New Yorker summer camp for like adults and to bring their teenage kids to.
I love that you guys keep calling it summer camp.
Well, it's like a resort, you know? Like
yeah,
a...
it's like a resort, you know?
It reminded me of Parents Island from The Simpsons.
Yeah. I didn't really realize that setup. And so like, I always just thought, and I, to be honest, talking about if it is the 80s, I didn't realize it took place in the 60s either. And it's kind of tough because the music... There's both 80s and old,
yeah.
like 60s, 50s
they,
music.
They really only half commit to the 60s of it, which at the end of the day,
everyone's
we were like...
hair.
Oh, yeah.
So...
Well, a lot of the hair, a lot of the costuming. And during that last, explosive number, when it goes full on 80s song, 80s everything.
And he's
like,
singing it. It's not that it's like...
Yeah.
It's not...
Yeah,
it,
and it's
like,
they went for the vibe, and I can respect that. I absolutely respect it.
Because at first
it's
I was
so 80s.
I was trying to decide like, is what's the term if the diegetic?
Diegetic.
Like, I thought like, okay, the diegetic music is of the time, and then there's other stuff playing that they don't hear.
But he said, no, I've 80s. Got this song. Yeah, I've got the record.
So I was like, maybe they're dancing to something else. But then he's singing the damn song at the end, and that like broke the wall down, you know?
They chose vibes, and I'm too, happy that they did.
He puts on a record, so this like this 80s-ass song is on like some old record. But midway through the dance party, you see there's like now the live band is joined in, and they're all playing.
And they know it too.
It's very funny.
Well, I would say this is close. This is like a jukebox musical in a weird way without the singing.
It kind of is.
I mean, even at the setup, it's an old Hollywood kind of like, even like a surf movie kind of setup, I would say.
In the beginning, yeah, the main title.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, which, yeah. By the way, the first of many steamy scenes in this movie. Like, in the credits, it's just like that slow motion black and white footage of people just rubbing up against each other.
The font, the iconic font.
Yeah.
Yeah, very surf. Surf movie kind of vibe. So yeah, it's like an old hot movie, like in a weird way, like older than it is, but in a good way. Like I think it's surprisingly about like it fits with the themes, you know, of like people like it wasn't this clean cookie cut, you know, into the 50s 60s sort of era. You know, people were actually, you know, sexual beings.
Yeah, that's the thing that, like, that I do love at the heart of this movie is that, like, you know, it's about the 80s, it's about the 60s, it's about, you know, modern times. It could be set even earlier of, like, you know, in the 20s. Of there's always going to be some generation of young people trying to dance up on each other and, like, and have fun and have sex and everything. And that's always, always, always the case.
It's funny, like, I think we're hitting on maybe one of the very few negatives I had against this movie. Like, I would say, all in all, I love this movie. There were very few things I didn't like about it, but you're hitting on one thing that I think they go a little too far in one scene, and it's at the end when the owner of this resort is like, you know what? Things are changing.
Hey, Lansman, who's that to the day?
Fregnest. You and me, Tito, we've seen it all, huh? Baba and Zeta serving the first pasteurized milk to the borders. Through the war years when we didn't have any meat, through the depression when we didn't have anything.
Lots of changes, though, Max, lots of changes.
It's not the changes so much this time, Tito. It's that it all seems to be ending. You think kids want to come with their parents to take foxtrot lessons? Trips to Europe, that's what the kids want. 22 countries in 3 days. Feels like it's all slipping away.
Things aren't the same anymore, and I'm just like, why? Because what's terrible about this moment is that everything he's saying was perfectly illustrated with no words seconds earlier. When you just get that shot, that panning shot of all the kids in the back, just like bored and like, ugh, as it cuts back to this just horrendous talent show.
The boring,
on
like old staid stuff.
Yeah, it's just like, we're getting this without you guys actually saying anything.
It was a little, yeah, on the nose.
And then it's just like, times are changing. It's just like, oh god. That was the one like overtly bad moment of the movie, I thought.
It was kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, it's also, I think, more than just being like, oh, the times, blah blah blah. It's like, that's a kind of very like 60s moment of it all, of like, yeah, you have no idea how much is about to change, like
in the next this, 5 minutes,
yeah, in the next 5 minutes, in the next month, in the next like 10 years, is you think it's changing already, it's gonna keep changing. The times they are changing, I forget who said that. Anyway, four lads from Liverpool are about to arrive. But that to that point is like, there's always gonna be the young people, you know, having sex, doing something new, and there's always gonna be an old person being like, what? Well, mm-hmm. I never.
Or old people stealing wallets.
What? There's always, always.
Oh,
be
yeah.
Dads.
They had a racket in Arizona and they fingerprinted the glass.
There was so many little things about this movie that I had forgotten, of like that little subplot. There's that the ending is a full on like whole room dance party.
I have to ask about the dance party, because I think, Ryan, you've been on record that you think movies that end in big shows dance.
Close. You're close to it. It's more this. It's like the fake concert, like with like the
what's an example of this?
Rat Race.
Lizzie McGuire movie.
like there's a big concert. Like it's in Ghostbusters at Answer the Call. It's like the lip syncing band's playing and everyone's dancing and singing. This movie though is a musical. Like it's a musical throughout. It deserves like that last hurrah. It's when it comes out of nowhere and it's all of a sudden.
I was glancing at you while we were watching this with a side eye, wondering.
No. This is like the release. It's the building up all to this. You know,
all that dirty dancing.
I'm trying to think. There's tons of them. What any other examples you can think of, Dave? Of the fake concert at the end of a movie that's just like
Shrek.
Probably.
I mean, it works in Shrek.
Is there singing in Shrek? Do they sing?
No. It's an anti-Disney movie.
Is it All Star in Shrek though? At some point
in the beginning,
it opens with All Star.
Oh God,
yeah.
I think I would argue it works thematically in Shrek as well.
This has musical moments throughout the whole movie, and instead of singing, it's dancing or and stuff like that. Really,
yeah. It's dirty dancing. No, it's like that old kind of like musical theater adage about like you start to sing when emotions get so intense that you can't say them. Whereas like in this movie, it's like you start to dance. You know, you you express through dance. You have all your emotions. You get it all out, and it's so sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, the amount of I love Jennifer Grey in this, and especially all of her great, like, all on the face acting of like, oh my God, oh my God.
I know, especially in the beginning.
She's like, holy shit.
She's good. Yeah.
She's so cute in this.
When she's walking, carrying the watermelon through the dancing for the first time, she like doesn't want to touch anybody. She's like
having a panic attack about how sexy everything is.
She should have like crushed the watermelon. Like
split in half.
Sorry. Did you ever find out what those watermelon, I mean, I guess they were going to eat them.
You
got to
snack on something when you're doing all your dirty dancing.
Were watermelons just like that in the
60s? They were huge.
Watermelons are perfect because you get food and water. Hydrates you to keep up the dancing.
Good dirty dance.
You saw how sweaty they were all getting. They need to hydrate.
Do you think like they were like just like spraying water on Swayze like on set to make him this sweaty?
They had a dedicated spritzer.
There's sometimes where the shot is just like all we see is just like him sitting down and he's covered in sweat.
I mean, presumably he had been dancing before that, but yeah, he gets real damp.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a wet boy.
He's a wet guy.
It works. I'm not, you know, normally I feel weird when someone's that wet, but I think he wore it well.
Well, he's a dancer. You're like, oh, I gotta.
Well, he's doing like the mambo and stuff. That's like a really like, you know, physically exerted.
He's engaging his core all over the place.
Yeah.
Can we talk about kind of like the one of the setups of this movie that I thought was weird that I'm curious, like, what everyone's, how, I don't know. So early on in the movie, kind of one of the first things that baby sees, you know, that sometimes you see things you're not supposed to see. She sees the, like, boss of the camp telling the waiters to, like, have sex with women. Yeah. Like,
no,
yeah.
So he's like,
you better go out there and romance these daughters.
Saying, like,
I want you to be extra sweaty around all these women.
There are two kinds of help here. You waiters are all college guys. And I went to Harvard and Yale to hire you. And why did I do that? Why? I shouldn't have to remind you, this is a family place. That means you keep your fingers out of the water, your hair out of the soup, and show the goddamn daughters a good time. All the daughters. Even the dogs. Schlep them out to the terrace. Show them the stars. Romance them any way you want.
Got that, guys?
The thing to do. Hey, hold it!
That's our first kind of setup of a lot of the class stuff that this the movie gets into. But it's that, like, he says explicitly, like, you guys, you're the waiters, you're the college boys, so you're of, you know, the same class as a lot of these women. It's okay to be like, you know, you can get your numbers, you can get your dick wet, you can do it all
was
you weird, want.
So he wasn't just saying it's okay. He was like, I want you to go out and, like, seduce, make sure these daughters
make sure
have
the
a good
daughters
time.
Are happy, even the dogs.
People come to Killerman's Mountain Restaurant for good times, croquet, and just wild sex with the staff. Yeah.
I also thought of it as, like, this is like a time. It's like all of these separate families get together every summer to start pairing off the children so that they can
too.
Get
yeah.
married.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh, the waiters are, you know, going to be doctors, going to good colleges. These are the types we want our daughters to be with. Let's hook yeah. them up while we're all here together.
Push them towards the nice, you know, quote unquote, well-bred boys to keep
the
them away
waiters,
from, you
the
know, these dirty low-class dancers with huge shoulders and perfect faces. And
yeah. So the waiters are the, like, the breedable class. Yeah.
Like, and the camp then, counselors kind of, I guess.
But then there's like, he has this entertainment staff of, like, plants, I guess, that we're supposed to be. Is
well,
like they
he also
dance.
Teaches dancing, but the plant thing is part of it.
Yeah, there are plants on the dance floor to, like, not be too flashy, but be pretty flashy.
Yeah,
so
it's kind of I find it kind of like a cool, kind of complicated, like, weird, kind of cool setup. Like, it's probably a lot of the case. Like, this, these are, like, all doctors and lawyers and people from New York that are, like, well off coming mm-hmm. to this country yeah. club
with your well off sons and your, you know,
yeah, and they're all like war buddies, and they're all like, there's all there's a lot of, like, cool, like, for a movie like this, there's a lot of, like, interesting, like, not really said, I mean, it's all said, but, like, yeah. interesting dynamics happening, I think, which is
there was
cool.
The a lot of it was based off of what is it, Eleanor Bergstein, the screenwriter's own childhood, because she was the doctor of a Jewish doctor, or she was the daughter of a Jewish doctor from
doctor
New York.
Of a Jewish daughter.
She was, yeah. you know, that's what you would do during the summer, is you go to the Catskills with your family, and yeah, you rub elbows with the other doctors, and et cetera,
they're,
et cetera.
They're probably, like, a little too old to go to, like, camp by them, like, themselves.
Yeah, where,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, college age, I guess, you know.
But so. It's still, like, you know, baby is 18, you know, about to go to college, but it's the 60s where it is still a kind of, like, you know, young unmarried women, like, you probably will still live with your parents until you get married or
wow,
you go
I'm
to
seeing,
college.
I'm seeing on the Chattopedia that the character of Baby was based on her own life, and the character of Johnny was based on the stories of Michael Terrace, a dance instructor whom Bergstein met in the Catskills while she was researching the story.
Sexy.
So these are, like, based on potentially true stories.
One scene I really, well, as we're kind of discussing, like, the dichotomy, like, the class system even within Kellerman's Mountain Resort, we get one of the first great lines of the movie where that we're having that scene we're not supposed to see, where he's like, I want you to sleep with the old ladies and this and that.
And then
you see the
Johnny Castle walks
in,
in.
Led by Patrick Swayze, Johnny Castle, wearing his sunglasses.
At
and
night.
I forget what the waiter tells him, but we get, he has this great rebuttal where he's just like,
so you think you can keep that straight, Johnny? What you can, can't lay your hands on?
You just put your pickle on everybody's plate, college boy, and leave the hard stuff to me.
Whoa. I was like, all right, I'm in.
It cuts to Baby at that point, and yeah, she's basically just like,
she's like practically fanning herself.
Oh yeah. Oh, oh.
She hasn't even seen him dance yet, and she's just like, what the hell? Oh my god.
That is the sexiest man who's
holy
ever
shit.
Lived.
They make guys that hot?
Yeah.
It's the traditional look where his, like, isn't like, he walks in with his jacket, like, over his
yeah,
shoulder.
He's
he kind of just walks in like, yeah.
Kara, you said this is like a pretty formative movie for you. Was Swayze part of that? Like, were you when he shows up here, were you like, oh wow, there goes something special?
I didn't really see the. I wasn't really entranced by Swayze until much later in life. But any like. Okay, I'll tell
me
you.
Too.
The thing,
me too.
I'm a big rom-com person and romance. This isn't a rom-com, but and romance movie person.
Yeah.
And one of the things, and it's at the end, and, you know, I like it all the way, but I think we mentioned it a little bit. But when they're dancing together and he's looking at her and she's looking at him and he starts singing the song to her, that's like, oh, you have my entire heart, Mr. Swayze. Yes, I love you more than anything.
I think you invented romance, yes. So yeah.
Yes, you're like, I want every person I meet that I love to do this to me all the time, please. Thank you. That's romance there.
Mouthing along to
Well, it's not just that he looks like that and dances like that, but yeah, of like he looks at you like this and then he will sing the song to you. Eyes on me.
Mike, he had the time of his life and he owes it all to her. He told her that.
I believe this. I feel it. Yeah. Oh.
Can't argue with that.
I mean, he's such a dreamboat.
She's like the wind.
She's like the wind. She's so cute with the curly hair and that gorgeous nose, and it's just like, oh yeah, invented romance.
I thought she, we're watching this, I was like, is she like 16 or something? But she was 26.
She was 26. Swayze is playing a 24-year-old, was fully 34.
Oh wow.
He was not young.
Oh, the 80s.
But they wanted someone who could actually dance and act. So I'm glad that he was hired. But he's certainly not 24.
This is probably dumb of me, but I didn't realize he was like, he had the goods, the dancing.
He
goods.
Was like a ballet dancer. Like yeah. He was a professional dancer, but I think before he was an actor.
In the Joffrey Ballet.
There was, wow. I kept on, wow. I felt this a couple times watching it, that there's a very like, I feel like Channing Tatum owes a lot to Swayze's whole kind of deal.
That's a good
of
call.
Your like, yeah, like, you know, very like masculine, hunky guy, really good dancer. And there's like this kind of thing wrapped up in it of like playing the masculinity, playing this like sensual dancingness to it.
Also
and
hot.
Like also hot
and sweaty.
But also, you know, we'll have those moments of like the vulnerability and the like clenching your jaw of just like frustration, and you're like, oh my god, it works.
I think
so,
I know why this might be so sweaty. They so they filmed,
I mean,
this,
it is New York in the summer.
Well, they filmed it in Virginia in the summer.
Okay, so
and
extra sweaty.
The temperatures were 105 degrees. It was like an unseasonably warm summer.
That's
then,
why they're shirtless with, and
once they like factor in the lights and lighting equipment and stuff, the temperature on the set was 120 degrees.
Jesus.
So what you're saying is they actually didn't need to spray Swayze down. He was already
sweaty.
That was
all him.
Yeah,
God
that
damn.
Was all natural.
God damn. Yeah, no, that'll get you fucking sweaty.
According to choreographer, I'm just reading from the Chatterpedia, Kenny Ortega, 10 people
who
passed
choreographed
out.
The High School Musical movies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
really?
He's a big DCOM.
He's
like,
a big DCOM guy. I didn't realize he was trained by Gene Kelly.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Kenny Ortega also
so
got
there's
the
a
goods.
Direct line from Gene Kelly to High School Musical.
Absolutely there is.
Wow.
I think his movie does too, for sure. Like even the beginning of High School Musical, where they're at like a winter resort, you know?
They're at winter summer camp, yeah.
Winter summer camp.
It's like the same setup, except
it's a great way to start a movie.
Yeah.
I kind of thought about Gene Kelly a little bit when you see that tap dancer in the beginning.
Oh, yeah, the old guy.
The older guy. I was like, oh, I'm getting like Gene Kelly vibes. He's like the old guard. But what I love about it, like, unlike a lot of the other old people in the climax of the movie when they finally start to get on board, he, right from the beginning, is like, I love this, man. This is awesome. He's like tapping along. That was great.
Oh, it was good.
Yeah. That's something I like, too. Like, I mean, when Baby kind of shows up and, you know, you want to see something you're not supposed to see, you know, and they're going in, like, finding the bad kids, you know, dancing in the shacks in the back.
The sexy workers.
Yeah, they're like, you know, there's a little bit of the hesitation, but it doesn't go on too long, which I like a lot. And, like, you know, they kind of bring her in pretty early, in my opinion.
Yeah. That was another thing I had kind of forgotten the details of like, how she kind of first gets into the sexy party, that friend that she makes, who's on the staff, that their first interaction right up top is like, he, you know, it makes friends with her because she bothers to like help him with the bags, and she, like, you know, shows him human kindness and helps him with the watermelon. He's just like, yeah, you know, you're cool. Okay, yeah, come with. Also, I do need help carrying these watermelons.
I can't imagine how they got those watermelons up those super steep stairs.
How is he planning on doing all three up those steps? Come on.
There was going to be some comic follies there if it was just him walking that stuff up the stairs, for sure.
Yeah. It's go ahead, babe.
Well, I was going to say we're about 30 minutes in, so what better time to discuss the plot of the movie?
Go ahead in case, you know.
For anyone who hasn't seen it, Kara, I'm going to give the plot synopsis duties to you.
Okay.
For this one.
Well, Dirty Dancing is a summer flick that follows our protagonist, Frances Baby, as her and her family go to the Kellermans?
The Kellermans.
Kellermans Mountain Resort, a.k.a. Parents Island.
For the summer. Are they going for the whole summer, or is it just like a few weeks?
I think they say it's 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It'll feel like a lifetime, is what the guy says.
That is a very, like, kind of old New York thing of, like, you take off, I mean, if you're, you know, have money, you take off, like, the last half of August, because it's too hot to be in the city, so you go out into the country. That's a thing people did.
So they all get there, and because Baby's not completely wrapped up in herself and actually likes other people and likes to be helpful, she gets the inside track into the staff, friendship gang, and she kind of becomes friends with them and realizes they're way cooler than any of those stuffy other people. I really, really like Baby. I think she's a very good person. Anyway, okay, no, that's not plot. That's opinion.
No, it's important. She's good. Then,
she's so brave.
She's nice.
I don't know how vague to be in the plot. So then she meets Penny and Johnny and Billy, and Penny gets into some trouble because she loved someone who was an asshole. We can all
we've all fallen in love with the wrong waiter.
We all know how that goes. And she helps her out and unintentionally she gets in a bad situation, and then she gets her dad, and her dad helps her. The dad hates Johnny, but Baby is maybe doesn't hate Johnny, loves him perhaps, and so she has to step in for Penny to do a dancing competition with Johnny, and that's where they really start to bond. And Johnny perhaps starts to get some heart eyes for her as well. And then the botched abortion happens. And
kind of buried the lead on that one.
Yeah, then the botched abortion happens. This is my first time, all right? It's going out of order.
You're good. Spoil it.
And then a lot of crazy clashing, dirty dancing, dresses flying in the air, feet everywhere.
Skirt stuff.
Swayze's hands.
Those banana hands.
Lots of very sensual moments. And then Johnny gets accused of stealing from people because of a scorned woman. And
leaves the camp.
Then Baby sacrifices her reputation to clear
save
his name.
Save Johnny.
To clear
it
his
wasn't
name.
Him, Dad. I know. I was with him.
He gets fired anyways because they were shacking up. But then he comes back for his last, what he thinks is his last hurrah. And what a hurrah it is.
Yes.
And he
puts Baby in a corner.
Not only does he save his own job, he saves, I'm going to say it, the Kellerman Resort from going bankrupt.
They never say that, but it's what happens.
Interesting implication. Yeah, because the whole, like, staff, everyone gets into this dance. Like, they all feel the music. And all
right, we'll come back next year. We don't have to go to Europe.
Yeah.
And then I think Mr. Kellerman himself is like, maybe we should update this place. It's a little bit freaky, you know?
A little stuffy.
Yeah.
Maybe get a different comedian other than Wayne Knight.
Yeah, maybe we should hire someone who's not Wayne Knight to tell jokes.
Oh, my gosh.
He was a great cameo in the movie.
You know, I finally met a girl exactly like my mother. Dresses like her, acts like her. So I brought her home. My father doesn't like her. Go figure.
He had like a Buddy Holly vibe going to him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's great. This is one of his first movies, I think.
Too. I was going to say, yeah, cameo. He hadn't really hit big as some of his big stuff yet. He had it all ahead of him.
One of which was Rat Race, your favorite.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think is I like Rat Race. The thing is, I hate the end. Okay, that's the problem.
Rat Race is great, so I'm glad that you
Wayne Knight did nothing wrong.
It's the part when they're all like crowd surfing during All-Star. You know what I'm talking about?
Is it All-Star?
That's terrible.
Is the song
yeah,
All-Star?
It's All-Star.
It just, it kills the rest of the movie, I think, is
leave
great.
That to Shrek. That's his
They
song.
Really got it right.
How many songs was All-Star in that time? Because it was first Mystery Men,
yeah.
Rat Race, Shrek, and it's like in all those
I mean,
movies.
Name a more iconic song you can't.
I think that is the
Besides
most.
Besides possibly hey I now. Had the time of my life. Or
like
She's
Happy
Like the
Birthday
Wind.
And All-Star.
And speaking of the music and She's Like the Wind, I didn't realize that was written and performed by Patrick Swayze.
He does it
oh,
all.
Wow.
He is a triple threat.
He does it all.
Oh my God. She's wow. Like the wind.
She's like the wind.
I had no idea either. Holy shit.
I also didn't know that, because again, I'd never seen this movie. I was aware of, I think like Ryan, the final third of the movie, like the famous dance in like the dance
sure,
hall or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, I wasn't aware of the abortion subplot, you know, that basically being the catalyst for
it,
going
it is
the
like
whole
the
movie
central
going.
Kind of conflict mm-hmm. is yeah. So thank God that's not a problem today. Access to safe and, you know, affordable, accessible abortion.
Well, it's like I didn't know so much because in the first half of the movie, it's like, all right, I have an appointment with this doctor on Thursday, but that's the same day that I have to do like a dance with Johnny. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, that must be the last dance of the movie that she's talking about.
That's
I had
a
no
halfway
idea.
Point.
That's only the first dance of the movie. And I love movies like this, kind of like the Rocky movies do this all the time, where like you have like the first like fight, or in this movie, dance.
The first
he
dance
does well,
in Rocky.
But you stumble. You know what I mean? You got to have that first mm-hmm. big event where you sort of stumble. She doesn't nail the jump.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned Rocky, because I was thinking like, you swap it like this is Rocky, like in a way.
Yeah.
Like you even have like the training montage.
Exactly.
Which I liked a lot.
A
I love
montage.
A good
training
Oh, it's
such a good,
montage.
I love that scene where it's like, you know, where Johnny is just like so annoyed with her and is like, you have to do this, you have to do that. And then she's on her own practicing and she's just like frustrated. She can't get it right. But then she's getting better. They're getting more, you know, comfortable and confident. She's wearing some more exciting clothing during the montage. And when they finally have the dance, which is kind of shaky, she doesn't do the lift. But they've bonded at that point, and on the car ride back, they're like laughing with each other, and they're both like,
yeah,
you know, the tension's
building.
Yeah,
you expect him to kind
of
be like, oh man, you fucked that up, but he's like cool. He's like, oh, you did good. Like,
and she was like, oh, I was nervous about this. He's like, oh, me too.
I was worried he was going to be still like crabby on the ride back.
Yeah.
But no, he's like, even when they're dancing, like, and she kind of stumbles a few times, he's still smiling, like, you're doing great. You know what I mean?
I'm glad that they do drop his attitude like pretty quickly, because that would have been, I think it would have aged a lot worse if he stays kind of like a jerk the whole time. That mm-hmm. other movies from the time, I feel like, would do a little bit more of, but he is pretty quickly like, no, okay, you are a good person. Like,
I think a very important.
You.
Like catalyst for that is when it's raining, and they're practicing. They're all drenched in sweat. You can tell they've been practicing all day. And he's like, "You're trying to kill me." And he's like, "She's like, yeah." And she yells at him and tells him, "Like, no, I'm not. I'm helping you. So you shut up." And he's like, "All right, yeah." Okay,
I know that's
right.
That moment if he's like, "Yeah, you're right.
That's true.
Game respect game."
Turn down and lift. You learn that later. And come on. Down, twist, and about. Oh, are you trying to kill me? You gotta concentrate. Is that your idea of fun?
Oh, yeah, yes, as a matter of fact, it is. We're supposed to do the show in 2 days. You won't show me lifts. I'm not sure it turns. I'm doing all this to save your ass. What I really want to do is drop you on it.
This kind of, I was looking at the trivia. I had heard, you know the weirdest thing? I had never seen this movie before, but for some reason, I watched a making of documentary of this movie like years ago. I can't tell you
fucking
why.
Fucking nerd.
But in any, but anyway, in any event, I remember them saying that Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey hated each other going into this movie. He had to, because they worked on Red Dawn a few years before this movie, and they hated each other. He had to Patrick Swayze had to convince her to come on board, and like they had like an amazing screen test where there was all this chemistry. But then when filming started, and it just that old hatred bubbled up, and they almost to the point where it made me wonder in those dance sequences where he's like, "Don't step on one," you know what I mean? You do it on two.
Getting out some frustration.
It got me wondering, like, I wonder if they just started filming like the rehearsals, like
well, that's apparently what that ticklish thing is.
Yeah, that was from. That's his real annoyance of her like laughing at him. He's like, "Fuck on."
But I guess what they did, the workaround was, it's like, let's show them the screen test that they did, that where they had all this chemistry, and it basically got them the parts. And I guess they watched it, they're like, okay, we get it. Let's harness what we had in that screen test and just keep going. And yeah. they went through the movie.
I mean, an animosity is still chemistry. It's still a dynamic.
And I could totally see that. I could totally see Swayze being like this you know, professionally trained ballet dancer, like, you know, opposite Jennifer Grey, who is not a professional ballet dancer, having to teach her this stuff. Just do not step on one. Step to pick up my toes. Yeah. You know what I mean? I could easily see that frustration with him and being hard, especially like Patrick's, especially he's the guy in the movie where it's like doing his own stunts. Like he, I think at some point he like during that log sequence, he kept falling off and he like hurt his knees.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, because the log was not over water. That was over like rocks.
I assumed it was over water, but the last shot, it's just like a creek bed. And
I know.
Like,
I was like, what if you guys fell?
I was shocked. But yeah, there's that scene in the climax when he jumps off the stage and like onto his knees. I'm like, ew.
Yeah, you feel that one.
He got his knees swelled so much that they had to drain the fluid out of them.
Sexy.
Oh yeah. So
dancing,
just wiping the sweat
is
off.
Intense.
Dirty dancing.
Dirty dancing indeed. Yeah, it's just the and I for, you know, not that 34 is so old, but for a dancer, that's like you really worked your body for like a long time at this point.
And when you're doing it in Virginia in like humid 104 degree weather,
oh my God.
Like, good God.
A man was, as we said, a triple threat.
He was dedicated.
Yeah.
And those hands.
And those hands.
Oh man. It's just there were so many like butt caress moments in this movie.
The butt
don't make
caress
them like that anymore.
And the like kind of getting down low and like brushing your lips over like the midriff kind of thing.
Well, that's what's so funny about this movie. Like, I know it's called Dirty Dancing, but like it doesn't necessarily go too far or too like there. It does. There's no point where there's like, oh yeah, baby, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like it's a little more. It's a little more subtle than you might think. Like it's like a butt caress, but not like a squeezing it.
There was a whole lot of hips bumping into hips, and
well, yeah,
they
like,
did the mashed potato.
It's not like it never got into like porno territory. Like,
I mean,
it's a PG-13 movie.
That's exactly what you're saying. Alluding to everything.
That's what I'm saying. It's that, something about them not actually doing it, just alluding to it, that made it so much more sexier than if they actually just like started going, you know what I mean?
They started fucking. No, that whole move that we kind of see a few times of like the woman's leg kind of hitched up high, or like they're like kind of bending back, and the partner's like, you know, it's all this like, you know, bodies going as far as they can. And it is hot. And also with all of the, there's like, I think more than once that we see it of baby, like walking through the clubhouse where everyone's dancing. But that first time, especially with the watermelon, where you can see like the smoke and the sweat and everything. And you're like, yeah, this is dirty.
I mean,
oh, so you're the ones who brought the watermelon in.
Oh, you brought the watermelon. Thanks. I got to hydrate.
All the sweat.
I'm sweating so much.
I mean, you could just, you know, replace the dancing with just hardcore drugs and sex, basically, you know? That's the going on in those.
Yeah, that's dancing what's really happening.
Is the sex? I'm surprised there wasn't a line of like someone being like, "Pass the reefer." It's the 60s.
Thanks, Daddy-O.
Any devil's lettuce?
Or like, baby comes and she's like, "Do you guys smoke marijuana?" And they're like, "Square."
Yeah, dope. Yeah, smoke.
Do you guys
dope.
Have dope here?
Speaking of which, I was looking in the trivia. Apparently, there was a sex scene cut from the movie. It's when they're in his bungalow or whatever for the first time. I guess that sequence where you just see them like kissing was a lot longer.
Yeah, it really is. Like, I was kind of surprised that they didn't.
I think it was for a PG or something or whatever.
PG-13.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there wasn't PG-13 then, was it?
This is 87. Did they have a budget?
Yeah, this was a PG-13 movie, and I was a little surprised because PG-13 movies at this point, this was like right when it first came out as a rating. PG-13 movies in this like few year chunk were allowed to be a little more extreme. So I was surprised. To me, this did not feel like a more extreme movie. This could have been a PG movie, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, as we said, it's all this kind of like implied.
It's implied.
I bet pantomimes. Especially too, like the abortion stuff.
That's where it comes from.
That's probably where
it
comes from.
This has to be for teens or older.
Yeah. Which, again, obviously they don't show anything related to the abortion, but just, you know, having that as a major element is like, it's going to get you a rating.
Like when Penny, like, when there's, like, the botched abortion, like, you don't even, it's not like you see, like, blood even or anything. She just is on the bed, like, ugh.
Yeah, she's all, like, sweaty and like,
and that's really where things take a huge turn for the dad's vacation. Like, up until then, the dad was having the time of his life.
Good old Jerry Orbach.
Every time it cuts to him, he's just, like, golfing, he's having fun, he's on vacation.
He's a pretty good dad, though. Like there's a thing when she checks on her later, and he's like, "Oh, you just missed your dad." Like, so he's, like, checking on her.
Yeah, he is,
thing.
Like, you know, a good doctor, like, seemingly, like, a really kind of, he's trying to raise his daughter to do something, but as she challenges of like, you still have your shit going on, you'll still assume the worst about you know, a situation even though you don't really know what's happening, and you're still truly, you know, threatened by the adult sexuality of, you know, this person you call baby, and that it does have to be confronted, Dad.
And that's a good line in the beginning too. She says, like, "I never thought of it as what is it?" She says,
"I never thought to mind that everyone called me baby."
Yeah, which I'm like, wow, like that right off the bat. I was like, what a good line for that.
Yeah. Well, and like the dad relationship in this movie is great. Like you said, like, he just trusts her immediately. Like, she asks him for $250, which in 1963
it's
for a
teenager
asking
a billion
dad
dollars.
Might as well be $1 million.
Yeah, and like, your 18-year-old daughter is like, "Hey, I need this," and
he's
someone's
like,
in trouble.
Is it illegal?
Is it
illegal? That's what's so great. Is it illegal? Oh, I don't even know why I asked that. You know what I mean? Like, there's just such trust between them, and then like in his mind, she shatters it. But that scene,
but
that
she
you
is
mentioned
still
earlier,
doing. You know, she's trying.
Trying
to help
she's trying
someone.
To be, yeah, that scene later, like when he's just sitting, like with his feet up outside on the porch, and she comes in, and she's like, "Will you lie to me?"
Devastating.
Too? You know, that then the lip quiver, man.
I've said before on
previous episodes, lip quivers always get me in the feels.
And it's that, and then as soon as she walks away, we see him again from the back, and he like brings a hand up to like his eyes or something. It's good.
This is how all dads have emotional arcs. They have to just sit by like
by
nature
a lake.
And stare.
Oh,
quiver a lip, and then they figured it out.
And then they gotta come to Jesus.
I'm gonna be out by the lake, just sitting.
This is another good, yeah, there's another good scene with him and Swayze later when he comes. He's like, when Swayze just kind of wants to tell the dad, like, "Thank you for doing what you did, and I know, like, this is what you think of me," and the guy's just, I forget what the dad tells him, but I love that moment with Swayze's like, "Yeah, you would think that, would you?" And then he walks away, like, Swayze's having to muster so much not to be like, "Fuck you," you know what I mean? Like, because, you know, you can tell he wants to, but he just kind of, like, he has his own little lip quiver moment where he's like, puts his glasses on. "Okay, yeah, you would think that."
"Dr. Houseman, could I, look, I'm going anyway, and I know what you must be thinking.
You don't know anything about me. Anything at all.
I know you want baby to be like you. You know, the kind of person who does things to make other people look up to them. Well, Dr. Houseman, baby is like that. I mean, if you could just see...
Don't you tell me what to see. I see someone in front of me who got his partner in trouble and sent her off to some butcher while he moved on to an innocent young girl like my daughter.
Yeah, I guess that's what you would see.
Yeah, the emotion there where he's like, well, you're not going to listen to me anyway. You're not going to see me as anything other than what you want to see me as. And that's all my life is going to be. So I'll just leave.
Everyone just sees him as a dirty dancer.
As a dirty dancer.
Yeah, and he doesn't say anything because he has so much respect for Penny. He's like, I'm not going to hit her dad or yell at her dad or anything. It's like,
baby?
I respect her too much. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Oh, well, speaking of Penny, though, I love her and Johnny's relationship of the, like, you know, what does Billy say? Like, oh, you'd think they were a couple, but they, you know, they haven't been since we were kids. Like, they're just, they're dancers, they're friends. They would, like, you know, do anything for each other. And they help each other out. And it's, you know, you don't get a ton of male-female friendships, period. But, you know, especially one where it's like when they do dance together, you're like, yeah, it's hot. It's dirty. They like clearly, you know each other very well. But they're not together. It's just what it is.
That's dancing,
they're not
baby.
Not together?
What was that?
That was, he was reciting the line from the movie. They're not together? Well, because that's I would have that confusion too, because they are dancing pretty sexily, you know, in that place.
It's a very, it's a very kind of, you know, like, dancer person, like theater person, like everyone who's on the inside of that is like, what, does this look weird that we're just hanging all over each other? Like now we're in shirts? What? And it's just like, no, it's normal. Nothing's happening. It just definitely does look like something's happening.
Yes, he caressed my butt, but everybody does that.
That's what you do with your friends. And baby's like,
I love
watermelon
like how...
explodes.
They needed an exploding watermelon in this movie.
That had to be
how,
in some
like,
euphemistically. Yeah.
Dancing is in this movie. Like dancing, it's like, even like with baby training and stuff, it's like the dance recital is the most important thing you've ever done in your life.
It is.
It's all leading up to this.
You've got to get these steps down.
You know, that reminds, speaking of the dance that they're supposed to do in the end, like, I thought it was funny that there's no preamble to that moment when he walks in and says, nobody puts baby in a corner.
That was, I had completely forgotten. I thought there was, like, something that he's, and he just walks up and says it.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
There's no like they get together and say, please come. No, I can't. It's like, no, he just walks in and like, and nothing else. Just nobody puts baby in a corner and takes her and they go up to the stage.
I want Jerry Orbach to be like, what?
I wasn't expecting, I had heard this line before, obviously.
Sure.
I wasn't expecting like the context was she was literally in a corner.
Yeah, right?
Just in some shitty chair shoved into a corner. Don't put her there.
Nobody puts baby in a poor seat. She gets middle row.
I was just expecting there to be some preamble, like Swayze walks up to the door and Wayne Knight's there. It's like, you're not getting in, you know, or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nothing. None.
Nobody puts baby behind a support pillar. With an obstructed view.
Oh, this actually, and this gets in while we're at the climax. This gets into a thing that is not really developed at all in the movie until the very end, and it's kind of one of those like show don't tell moments where the whole movie they're kind of just protecting the mom character. Like the dad's like, nothing's wrong, honey. Nothing, you know. Like,
don't tell your mother.
She's kind of a non-character for most of the movie. She's kind of just like, you know, like, oh, what's happening? Or no one's telling her anything. But at the very end, when they start dancing and the dad's like, I don't know,
he starts to stand up and...
She is the one that's just like, no, like, let them do their thing, honey. You know what I mean? Like, she's all about it. And to me, that's one of those show don't tell moments where it's like, of course the mom's into it. That is awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. That was one of my favorite moments of the movie, where it's like a character that is basically given nothing throughout the movie is suddenly just like, she's like the coolest character in the movie.
And that she is the one who is, you know, more than dad, going to implicitly get it of like, no, she's a young girl. Like, let her do it. Let her live.
She gets this from me.
Gets it from me, which is apparently an allusion to the fact that that actress was, like, in the original, she was like, a Broadway person. And so that her being like, oh, it's from me.
Does that wink the fact that Kelly Bishop was in the original cast of A Chorus
Line? Chorus Line, yep.
The name at the time of Carol Bishop. Yeah, okay.
Jerry Orbach, the dad, famously on Law and Order for many, many, many years, also a Broadway song and dance man. And the voice of Lumiere in Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, wow. Oh,
damn.
Speaking of a triple threat.
There was somebody that I was like, who the hell is that? That was driving me crazy as... He was like the son of the owner of the camp. He was sort of like the guy in the beginning trying to dance with Baby and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The guy that they're trying to like set her up with.
Yeah.
He has this line, that guy. He's like,
Mambo! Yeah! Come on!
he's a great dork. Yeah. And an asshole.
I was trying to figure out who is he from. And he's in Muppets Take Manhattan, my favorite Muppet movie.
Of course.
He's like the... And he's the son of, like, a producer that's the one that gets them on Broadway. We're going to be on Broadway!
He plays a great Weasley adult son.
Yeah.
I said before, like, everything just builds up to that climax, and it got me teary-eyed and when everyone starts, again, a great movie moment. And I got to say, I think this movie is a classic for a reason.
It is. I mean, and there's a lot of kind of corny 80s-ness to laugh at here, but it is, like, so sincere that you just can't help but have a sincere response. At least I can't. I mean, it's still definitely, like, a nostalgic thing for me as well. But I would agree, and watching this as an adult, that like there's a lot here that is just very well done.
There's more than you think. Carol, what's even your favorite like moments and things like that you like a lot about this movie, I suppose?
Besides the lip singing at the end, of course. I actually wrote down some of the lines that Patrick Swayze says that are just like, oh, he's definitely from the street lines. And one of my favorites was, what, fight the boss man? When she's like,
fight the boss man?
She's telling him that you gotta stand up for yourself. He's like, fight the boss man?
A little wimp. He would know a new idea if it hit him in the pachanga. He wanted some new ideas. I could have told him some new ideas.
Well, why did you let him talk to you that way?
What do you mean? And fight the boss man?
I'm just like, oh my God, this is just the greatest. And then I've always loved this line.
Fight harder, huh? I don't see you fighting so hard, baby. I don't see you running up to daddy telling him I'm your guy.
And you're like, oh my God.
So cool.
Some of these lines are so fabulous. And actually, a moment that I have always like been like, oh, this is nice. But like, since I don't usually watch this movie with like a critical lens, because I'm just watching it to watch it. And so this time I watched it with a more critical lens. And it's right before the last scene when Baby's like getting ready and she's sad because Johnny was fired, and Lisa comes over and is like, I can do your hair, and she's like being nice, and they have not liked each other the whole thing, like the whole movie. And then suddenly they're like, oh, we don't like, and that's the only, that's like who, besides the kind of classist, is like the one thing that I don't like about the dad, is that he so clearly favors Baby that it kind of like pits them against each other, and he like doesn't really care. It just from the way they interact, you can infer that he doesn't really pay attention to Lisa.
Yeah, so, Lisa kind of gets short shrift, I feel like.
She does. It's like, I think there's a lot to examine in the text of the like, well, here, you know, we open with Baby's reading a book and her sister is looking in the mirror and doing her hair. And it's like, you know, it's 1963. She has been raised in the world that she has been raised in. Of course, she's going to embrace all of these things that she is told.
And
like,
she's on vacation.
She's on vacation. Well, and it's the like, yeah, she's obviously been raised to like find a husband, and that's what she wants to do. And for some reason they decided with Baby, or maybe they tried it with both, but that like, oh, we'll teach we'll teach baby like important stuff. And yeah, they kind of, the older sister gets a little ridden off, which is, it's like, you know, unfair, but
it's like a sister is just waiting for the Beatles to show up. Like that's going to be her whole life.
Start screaming.
The 60s are going to be your decade.
Something I did really like about,
four lads from Liverpool.
About the baby and her sister was that, like, especially in that moment at the end where she's like, oh, do your hair. No, actually, it looks great the way you do it. Of, like, you know, baby's got this wild curly hair. And especially in the 60s, there would have been, you know, as a Jewish girl in the 60s, she would definitely have been pressured to be like, well, you're going to straighten it, aren't you? And the sister's hair has that look to it of, like, a curly-haired person who straightens it constantly because that's what the look is, but it's still like it's kind of frizzy, it's kind of like thick, and that I like the little things, even though I do recognize I'm like Lisa gets a little shafted.
But good for Lisa, at the end when everybody's dancing, she hooks up with Billy, who is Johnny's cousin.
Yes.
And they, I'm like, I ship,
hey,
this.
There's a nice
I ship
boy.
This. Yes, please. This makes
they're
sense.
Equal.
They're going to discover the Beatles together.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Right. He would love
now, it'll be, no, it'll be a contentious thing. Like, she'll be into the Beatles and he'll be more Rolling Stones.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It'll,
they might be a little too she's old by the time the Beatles come through.
They're in their 20s. No, she's going to be like all into Paul, and then he'll be like, well, I'm cute too. it won't last, but it'll be fun.
At the end of the movie, with that kind of like funny sort of last hurrah where all like the family of the owners and the workers are all doing like the little recital song kind of thing, there's a world where this movie, if it came out like early 2000s, say like Little Miss Sunshine era, where this would have been like an indie kind of like quirky drama romantic movie kind of thing, like which I think it could kind of work if it was just like it was during a certain era where this, you know, has a rocky vibe, when I think if it came out 15 years later, it probably would have been like a quirky indie comedy, like, type of thing, with some heart and, you know, some strings pulled.
They would have pushed baby's like awkwardness so much harder.
She'd been more of like a quiet type sort of thing. Her sister would have been.
There would have been like when Swayze was up to like grab the microphone, there would have been like the microphone feedback moment, and like.
Well, that's the thing. If this movie had been made, like a 2000s, 2010s, like there, I think there would have been less. There would have been a kind of like more deconstruction of Swayze, I think. Mm-hmm. Where this one, I think, has a lot of heart and nuance to it, but it is still at the end of the day, like
it would have been Paul Dano, not Swayze.
Yeah, you're like no, but with Swayze interdancing, it is still pretty, you know, like straight down the middle, presented of like, I mean, you fucking see this guy though, right? Which works for it.
Yeah, just that thing with the band, or the band, like the whole family kind of singing, just reminded me of like this really awkward moment in the beginning before like remember, like I was thinking of Little Miss Sunshine's little pageant at the end, and like these really like kind of for comedy, these like all the kids that come up before little Abigail Breslin comes in. So speaking of which, I saw this in the trivia. There was a Dirty Dancing remake made for TV movie, and Abigail Breslin plays the baby part.
Oh, I don't know
really?
About that.
I did not even know this existed.
Wow.
Like, at all.
Did you know about the sequel, Dirty Dancing Havana Nights?
I remember the trailer when it was, and everyone was
the,
stoked.
The
no
best thing
it.
About Havana Nights is the, like, story of how that movie got made. So it was written by... It started, there was a script written by the NPR host Peter Sagal. It does like, wait, don't tell me. And he wrote like this movie in the 90s, I think. And it was like, at the time it had no connection to Dirty Dancing. He was writing like a Cuban like historical period piece that was going to be like really dark and like talk about like the turmoils of like, I think the way he put it is like the idealism switching to terror of the Cuban Revolution. But it was one of those things
where Nights is about.
Yeah, it was one of those things that like it got rewritten and doctored and doctored, and notes were made until it eventually turned into Dirty Dancing 2 Havana Nights. And
made
he said that
2004.
Not a single line is from his script is actually in the movie, this but he is credited familiar. As story by.
It's also a prequel to Dirty Dancing. It's set just before the 1959 Cuban Revolution. That Patrick Swayze as Johnny Castle does appear in, 20 years older, but 4 years before Dirty Dancing. It's this as reminds me great of, as it sounds.
This reminds me, I think this happened with Pretty Woman too. Didn't we say that with Pretty Woman? Like, mm-hmm. It started off as like a hardcore, like, yeah, you know.
A little bit, yeah. Pretty Woman was supposed to be like a true to life, like down, yeah, like the underbelly of LA.
And they're like, what if we don't do any of that?
And wasn't the original title of the movie something like how much she asks him for, like, her services?
Oh,
or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, it was like $300 a week or something like that.
Yeah,
I thought you meant that there was a Pretty Woman Havana Nights. So like,
it's the prequel where they're in Cuba.
Richard. Pretty Woman Havana Nights.
I feel like Havana Nights became, oh, sorry, it just became like a one of those, like, Electric Boogaloo kind of sequel.
Havana Nights. You know,
like, after
the go-to, like, make fun of direct it,
Star Wars
DVD
Episode
type.
9, Havana Nights.
It means nothing, but doesn't it sound kind of sexy?
I read a thing very recently, and it said that they were actually going to make a true sequel with Jennifer Grey to Dirty Dancing. And I don't know how, if that's like, oh, it's just an idea they're throwing around. But she Legacy mentioned sequel. It specifically.
Wow.
In like an interview.
What would that be, you think?
I don't know.
She takes her daughter to like a camp or something.
And her daughter's, I don't know.
The clip I read was Jennifer Grey wants Harry Styles to be her boy toy in Dirty Dancing sequel.
Oh, wow. I bet she does.
I bet she does.
I got a great idea for a movie, guys.
So, Harry Styles grinds up on me.
She is, like, it's nuts looking. I mean, you were talking about this before boarding Jackie, but, like, her career after this was, like, done because of, you know.
Because of the nose job that she had, this, you know, beautiful, unique profile. And, of course, everyone told her to get a nose job. And as soon as she did, it was like, why'd you do that? You're not interesting anymore.
She even says for herself, her friends didn't recognize her. And then was like, she became an anonymous person, a star to an anonymous person overnight.
It's so sad that, like, you know, do the thing. Well, now we're punishing you for doing the thing. And also, like, literally your loved ones don't recognize you. Like,
it's so nuts.
It is.
I know you mentioned it, and I looked it up, like, in her own quotes, and she, like, talks about it. It's like, wow. Yeah, because, I mean, it's so funny because, you know, watching Ferris Bueller, you're always about Stallone. But now these days when I watch it, I'm like, oh, it's Janine is the
Oh, Jeannie, she's so
Jeannie, yeah.
great.
And so it's like it's
she's
changed.
Such an asshole.
Like, as a kid, you're like, oh, Stallone. Oh, geez. And then now I'm like,
and she's so funny in Ferris Bueller, too. I am very cute and I'm riddled with STDs.
You're right. It looks like she had like maybe a couple movies after this, but it was mostly TV movies. And then she got into TV. But eventually, like, you know, in the 2000s, she did a voice in The Wind Rises, of all things.
Yeah, she was like one of the dubs.
Yeah, she was on Phineas and Ferb. She was Mrs. Pierpoint.
Hey, VO work is work.
Yeah, like, on Grey's Anatomy. For
yeah, looking
bit.
At her movies, like after that, like I don't recognize many of these at all. You know,
yeah,
she was in like two huge movies, three, I guess, if you include Red Dawn. You know, but.
The tale as old as time in Hollywood. Why did that woman change her appearance after we disparaged her appearance at every chance? That's so weird.
Which is so wild because I'm watching this movie. Like you said, I'm like, she is sexy as hell in
this
movie.
She's so
like,
cute and never, like, ugh.
That's wild to me. Never at any point was it like, she could use a nose job.
Wow,
I'm like,
I wish her nose wasn't so big.
It never occurred to me until you mentioned that. And it's just like, what the hell?
Hollywood.
Hollywood, it's where dreams come true.
Damn it, I forgot what I was going to say. Never mind. But, yeah, it's too bad because she's great in the movie, too. Like, I'll never get over it. I'll just be in my head forever with that smile right before the damn the lift.
Yes.
You know, that's a little close up, you know, kind of thing.
She's every time she'll kind of like throw her head back and laugh, you're just like, oh.
Yeah, you can't. That is all like just like things flow. I can't even say it. It's like the, you know, electricity happening. Mm-hmm. You know,
all right, all start fanning Ryan. He's overstimulated.
Yeah, you're staring at her with big eyes, and you're like, huh?
Right? If Ryan were there, he would be the guy who faints in the dance hall. And they have to, like, carry him out.
Yeah. Yeah,
but yeah, it's good movie. Funny.
It's pretty, I think it is. I mean, yeah, like, there's some things, like, I think you nailed it. You're right about that, Dave, about that guy, that times are changing, and, like, some of the characters getting a little bit short shrift kind of thing, but. It is weird, and also the diegetic music with, like, the soundtrack music is a weird thing.
I didn't
mind
that. That was almost like kind of like a proto Knight's Tale thing they had going on.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Yeah. But it still works. Yeah. I've seen this probably more than, like, Flashdance. I know that, and they made a big deal that they actually did the dancing in this and not, like, Flashdance uses, like, doubles and stuff.
Yeah, they were specifically like, we don't want to have some shot of, like, some feet moving that absolutely do not belong to our actors.
But then,
it's worth it. It really is. Just watching, like, a dancer dance like Patrick Swayze is incredible.
Yeah.
Did anyone have any other thoughts?
I was just going to mention, yeah, we did a little bit of the Kenny Ortega kind of run.
Kenny Ortega corner.
Let's do a slight Kenny Ortega corner after this. Like.
Corner, huh?
This is a little bit of crossover with It's On Like DCOM.
It's On Like DCOM! It's On Like
DCOM! So he was the choreographer for another.
This is what I signed up for, Dave.
He's a choreographer for another Apocalypse Video classic, Xanadu, for one. Oh,
that's right, that was him.
Wait, Kenny Ortega did Xanadu?
Yeah, well, he has been in the business.
And then
that movie does not have very good choreography.
Maybe it's the camera work in that movie that stinks. But
someone had to tell him how to roller skate.
And then he, you know, there's some other things. He was a John Hughes guy. He did the parade in Ferris Bueller, which is like probably one of the best scenes of all time. And then he eventually first directed Newsies. It was his first directing movie.
Oh, bummer. That movie bombed hard.
Yeah, it did. But then he did a year later, Hocus Pocus was after that.
Oh.
And then he started doing the whole High School Musical movies and then to eventually the Descendants movies, which are some other DCOM classics.
Are those musicals?
I think they are, yeah.
They're musicals, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Good for him. He's Kenny Ortega stays working. Shit.
Yeah. He did, he's still going today. He has something. It just came out called Julie and the Phantoms.
Oh, my God.
Netflix series.
Love Julie and the Phantoms.
Yeah.
All right. I love him now. He's the best. Kenny Ortega corner. I'm in there.
You're like, yeah, my Kenny Ortega
stand. Please stand in that corner.
Well, it's a shame about Swayze. After this movie, he just faded into obscurity and just did nothing. Oh, wait!
We're still crazy for Swayze.
He did.
And we're only going to get crazier.
1991's People's Sexiest Man Alive.
I mean, yeah, you get it.
I buy it, especially with that beach blonde hair that we'll see.
Oh,
and folks... Just spoiler alert, we got more Swayze lined up for this summer film fest.
What?
We have not seen the end of the Swayze dog in Hot Days Fun Summer Film Fest.
Oh, man. Just the way that, like, Swayze in all of his sexiness, like, convinced so many people that, like, oh, I could probably work a mullet. I bet if I bought a leather jacket and some tight black pants, like,
I could
be exactly that cool. And it's like, no, you certainly cannot.
Remember him and Donnie Darko? Anybody?
Yeah, yeah. He's
to bring
the
back
like
some Richard Kelly.
Isn't he like a pedophile in that movie? Mm-hmm.
He's like a motivational speaker pedophile.
Wow.
You had to bring it down with Donnie Darko, right?
I just, you know.
How many dance scenes are in Donnie Darko? Like 4 or 5, probably?
I don't know. But no, I just, you know. Just need to throw out my boy, you know, Dick Kelly every once in a while.
Well, does anyone have any other thoughts on Dirty Dancing, or should we get into recommendations?
Yeah, anything else? You know, Kara, this is you brought this VHS to us. Do you have anything?
It's well worn.
Oh, speaking of VHS, I took a screenshot of when I got here earlier. I hacked into your Chattopedia and found a interesting tidbit of information. Was the first film to sell more than 1 million copies for home video.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Yeah. How many of those were you?
Yeah, that's a crazy stat. That's nuts. That's
Well, it is Star Wars for girls, so.
And this would have been right around that time when Blockbuster was coming about and becoming prevalent, so that, yeah, I get it.
I bet this is the kind of movie, too, that, like, maybe didn't have... It wasn't, like, playing in theaters for a super long time and, like, every theater in America kind of thing. So, like, once it's, like, on the video store shelves, like,
well, I think it was time. Like, it did pretty well. Like, it was, like, super... It was, like, the one of the 10th or 11th highest grossing movie of that year. And, yeah, just, like, it sounds like if even from to DVDs, it's one of the highest selling DVDs and VHSs of all time. So.
Oh, wow. It grossed $214 million worldwide.
Wow. Which is huge.
On a budget of $6 million.
Wow. That's how much The Room costs. The Tommy Wiseau movie is $6 million.
Yeah, that's a cool. It's glad that I meant the VHS thing. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, I thought that was
like weird. I wonder what the list of best selling VHS is. So we try to find it.
I mean, I imagine Star Wars is probably on there some. Well, what am I saying? This is Star Wars. This is Star Wars
for girls.
For VHSs.
Oh, so the first.
This is girls Star Wars VHS.
I don't know how accurate this is, but it seems right that this thing I'm seeing is that the number one is The Lion King.
Mm. Okay, oh, I get that. Makes sense. Yeah. I had it. We all had the clamshell when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I can. It'd be cool to. I don't see it on the top list, but these are ones that have been out for a while.
Oh, well. Is this like the top VHSs?
Yeah.
It's all freaking Disney.
Yeah, I'm seeing Lion King, Snow White, number 3, Titanic.
Oh, yeah. Well, in that one, you got to buy two, so.
This kind of reminded me of that a little bit, too, the setup of Titanic or whatever. Just like, you want to... You see what a real party is, you know? That
yeah,
thing?
Yeah. Well, that's, that classic, like, rich girl, working class guy. I'll show you something good.
Man, Titanic is good.
That was a sexy movie, too.
Ryan, we're not doing Titanic for the Summer Film Fest. You keep bringing it up. We're
we
not
missed
gonna
it.
Do
Maybe
it.
For
Maybe
the next...
another time.
I mean, we just missed the 100th anniversary. It was just a couple months. All right. I mean, no, we don't know what time we're
not
in,
of the movie.
Oh, I mean, the 200th anniversary. What?
Yeah, wait. We got to wait. The 200th anniversary is coming up maybe next year. So,
well, needless to say, I think this movie was well deserving of its reputation. I'm glad you brought it in, Kara. I think this is the perfect way to start off the Summer Film Fest on a good note, as opposed to last year where it was kind of shaky.
Was our first movie last year The Beach?
Yeah.
Yes. I did not care for that one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough one. But.
A much better film compared to The Beach. An honest to God classic, and I'm glad I finally got around to watching it. This is one I could take off my cinematic pile of shame, I'm glad to say.
Good.
I'll say same as a fellow first-timer. This was it was fun. I like I said, I didn't realize this was going to be a summer camp movie, and that kind of like sucked me in alone. And the on-screen chemistry, despite maybe they hated each other, but God damn it, it worked.
Did it feel like Mike like did like a lot of like you know like kind of references because it's I feel like it's something parodied a lot or
yeah I think like, I think kinda... though like I the references are already so well known it was like I kind of knew what to expect except for I didn't think Baby was gonna literally be in a corner.
Yeah, you don't. It's like you don't need a ton of context for like, oh, and then she gets lifted up and it's cool,
right.
As
yeah,
opposed
I
to like
she's gonna be lifted up at some point,
and it would be you know fun.
Jackie said during the film, Chekhov's lift.
Yeah, it's a cool setup. Yeah, for sure. Remember they were in the lake.
Remember when they were in the lake?
I'm fanning myself now.
Remember when she carried that watermelon?
Remember when Swayze was like. Leaning
that's
on
the
floor,
that's
the mouthing
Chekhov,
the
Karen the water.
Chekhov's water.
Oh, we didn't mention that other incredibly iconic, sexy moment where they're both kneeling on the floor,
crawling at each
crawling
other,
towards each other, singing. Oh,
I almost thought I had to excuse myself.
I almost had to go carry a watermelon.
I also read a thing about that scene that was just like what they did as warm-ups, but they filmed it. And they were like, this is great.
This
put
is
in the
too
movie.
Hot.
Cute. They're like, God, we hate each other, but we're so good at fucking.
Oh, there what? Sorry, we keep bringing up things I wanted to mention. Did you know that Jennifer Grey was married to Clark Gregg for like 20 years? So
who's Clark
Gregg? He's
Agent Coulson.
Marvel
Shield
guy, right?
Himself. Yeah, the
Agent Coulson.
Agent Coulson himself.
I didn't realize that.
Did they split up or something?
Yeah, I guess they split up like last year, I guess.
Oh, wow. Bummer.
Well, who knows if it was
sure
last
they
year.
Have,
you tell
well,
me
yeah,
they broke up on the 100th anniversary of the Titanic?
They said it's been long enough. The Titanic has been sunk long enough. We got it.
All right. Now we can finally.
I think we should end things.
Yeah, Clark Gregg. I'm like, what a. Huh. I don't know. Yeah, Mr. Marvel himself. Oh, well. No. That's our last bit of tidbit. Sorry for the bummer for that too.
What?
Okay, I guess I don't
love,
have to
love
ask,
or not doesn't keep going.
I don't. I guess I don't have to ask this, but would you recommend Dirty Dancing, Kara?
I have, and I would again.
I see. I see you putting the tape back into our VHS player. As
who's
we speak.
Down for round two?
Yeah,
you'll get a lot more from it the second time.
She's
have you
at
seen,
the win.
Kara, have you seen Havana Nights?
I have not seen Havana Nights.
It's
blasphemy.
Good. you don't have to.
The Rise of Skywalker of the Dirty Dancing franchise.
It's I mean the one last thing.
Name
last
out of your mouth.
That 20 years older Swayze cameo is just kind of painful.
I don't. Like, I feel like it. This movie is so good because of Jennifer Grey and Patrick Swayze. Like it's a simple story. Simple stuff's going on, but they make it good. And so I don't know how well it would translate over.
It definitely seems like this is a time and a place kind of movie. You can't it's like Pretty Woman. Like you can't make this again.
And it's once again with the chemistry of everyone involved, it's magic in a bottle. You're not going to magic in a bottle, lightning in a bottle. You're just you've got it or you don't. And that's the magic of Dirty Dancing.
Yeah,
baby.
Kind of an accident movie, you know? Like they could have I feel like this is not a really formula. I mean, maybe it's a pretty basic plot, but it's not a formulaic movie, and you can't try to do that again. You know,
it's
it has a lot to do with a lot of the elements.
Titanic. It's you know the imitations of the thing. You're like, oh, this is bad and boring. Whatever. Like, why is the good thing
Pearl
good?
Harbor.
It's but it's like it's because of once again like. People involved, the right chemistry, the right time, place, etc. Like,
like
it works exactly like Avatar, which is also so sexy. So,
Well, that'll do it for our inaugural entry in the second annual Hot Dave's Fun Summer Film Fest.
Hot Dave,
cue explosion sound effect.
Are you at least going to have chili this time?
No, we phased the chili out, actually.
It was not complaints. Selling.
Yeah, well, we had complaints from some of our air vent dwelling customers. They did not like the smell of the chili.
Well, fair. And I don't know how popular the piping hot chili was during the sweltering summer.
I'll never forgive you, Dave. It's like I'm in Virginia in a freak song.
We're doing hot dogs this year, right? No?
Hot Dave's hot dogs.
Hot Dave's hot summer dogs.
Hot dog weeders or something. But for next time, in the next installment of Hot Dave's Fun Summer Film Fest, we're going to kick it up a gear. We're talking John DeBont's 1994 action classic, Speed.
The bus that wouldn't slow down.
AKA, the bus that wouldn't slow down. Be there.
Cuz, what's she doing here? She came with me. She's with me.
I carried a watermelon.
Carried a watermelon?